You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, fellow listeners here on Radio Maria Canada. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, coming to you on Friday, the March the 16th, as we are nearing the end of our Lenten journey, and we're going to be reaching pretty soon the Holy Week. So let's begin our broadcast, as always, our thanks to our Blessed Mother with a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, dear listeners, I thought I would talk to you about several different areas as we are getting close to Palm Sunday and Holy Week, talking about wisdom and grace. On April the 4th in 1968, American civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, leaving millions of angry and disillusioned. In Indianapolis, a largely African-American crowd had gathered to hear Robert F. Kennedy speak, and many had not yet heard of Dr. King's death at that point. So Kennedy had to share the tragic news, and he appealed for calm by acknowledging not only their pain, but his own abiding grief over the murder of his brother, President John F. Kennedy. Kennedy then quoted a variation of a very ancient poem. Even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, until in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God. Wisdom through the awful grace of God is a remarkable statement. It means that God's grace fills us with awe and gives us the opportunity to grow in wisdom during life's most difficult moments. James wrote, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." James says that this wisdom is grown into the soil of hardship, for there we not only learn from the wisdom of God, we rest in the grace of God. And a little tiny prayer, Father, in the face of life's sometimes awful circumstances, may we find your grace to be a source of awe and wonder. Instruct us in our trials and carry us in your arms when we are overwhelmed. And if you have your Bible, and if you have a pen or paper, well, both would be good. Book of James, 1 James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. but ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. How true is that, my friends? Faith is so, it is the critical point of all our lives, of how we must live our life. Faith in your heart lives there. And along with that lives doubt, and lives fear, and lives anxiety and depression. And all of them with you, they all live inside of you. There isn't anyone who doesn't have some level of fear and anxiety in them, and even have to fight depression. This is what we all live with. And it's easy for me to come on air and talk to you about faith. But through it all, even through all of Radio Maria, all we are doing is trying to change your area of your heart, that it's replaced with all of those negative things, the doubt, the fear, and the anxiety, to be replaced with faith. And the more we talk, and the more we bring the word to you, through various ways, through music, through news, through scripture, through prayer, and through this broadcast called The Father's Quilt, gradually faith will dominate over you. You won't be walking in adversity. You will have made a personal, heartfelt choice. And so, here we go. The Epistle of James was written very much to a specific audience, the 12 tribes, right? And so, this persecution that was exposed at that time about Jesus intended to wipe out the church. And instead, it caused the message of the gospel to spread throughout the world. You know, a Venus flytrap plant can digest an insect in about 10 days. The process begins with an unsuspecting bug smells nectar on the leaves, and that formed the trap. This meat-eating plant reminds us of the way sin can devour us if we're lured into it. Sin is hungry for us. Even Genesis 4 says, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. God spoke these words to Cain just before he killed his brother Abel. Sin may try to entice us by tempting us with a new experience, convincing us that living right doesn't matter, or appealing to our physical senses. However, there is a way for us to rule over sin instead of letting it consume our lives. The Bible says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, in Galatians. When we face temptation, my friends, we don't face it alone. We have supernatural assistance. Relying on God's Spirit supplies the power to live for Him and for others. Dear God, at times I let down my guard and indulge in sin. Please help me to listen to your warnings and obey your word. Protect me from my own impulses and conform me to your image. Thank you for your work in me. Dear friends, this is a live prayer call-in line, and we always encourage every one of you who listens to not shy away by asking for prayer and bringing your requests to us. We will pray with you. Our wonderful engineer, Alex Diaz, is with us. And there's myself and Father Charles that's often in studio with us as well. We're all praying for all our people here who send their requests. And we thank you for that. We thank you so much for tuning in to the Father's Quilt, that you find this ministry a help to you. And if you feel compelled to write in, then write to Quilt, Q-U-I-L-T, at radiomaria.ca. We are here for you, dear listeners, because we understand how it is being challenged with life and the issues that we all go through and all the endurance that we must face. So I just wanted to flip over to one of my favorite scenes in literature occurs when a feisty aunt confronts an evil stepfather over the abuse of her nephew, David Copperfield. And this scene takes place in Charles Dickens' novel named after the main character. And when David Copperfield shows up at his aunt's house, his stepfather is not far behind. Aunt Betsy Trotwood is not pleased to see the malicious Mr. Murdstone. She recounts a list of offenses and does not let him slither out of his responsibility for each act of cruelty. There is someone else who is so strong and good, and who will one day right the wrongs in our world. When Jesus returns, he will come down from heaven with a group of powerful angels. He will give relief to you who are troubled, and he will not ignore those who have created problems for his children. Until that day, my friend, Jesus wants us to stand firm and to have courage. No matter what we endure on earth, we are safe for eternity. And so you may think, well, I really don't need, I think I have a pretty good faith, I don't need much help. But I will tell you that maybe you feel that, you've been doing your rosary and you're part of the CWL and you're on the Knights of Columbus this is what you think it is, what faith is. But your faith, your Christian experience is built on faith. God's mercy, his kindness, and his love pulls you out from the depths of hurt and of pain. And so you have to make a decision. You have to choose faith. You have to choose faith, my friends. It's very important that we trust God. In Abraham became a good friend of Jesus. He became a good friend of God because he demonstrated that although he wasn't perfect, but he chose to believe. He chose faith, and that kind of righteousness, what God gave him and blessed him and said, you know what? It's like a student who goes to school and fails the subject, is doing poorly, is skipping classes, and at the end, the instructor says to you, well, if you just smile at me, I will count it as an A. In other words, Jesus is the same way. You serve God when you submit yourself to a higher perspective. If you believe in me, says God, I will count it as righteousness. Right? Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham didn't do everything right. But his faith, he believed that he had faith in God. And that's why God granted him that to be righteous. Faith ties into our integrity, says God. It ties into his integrity. You are not serving me because I got you a new car. You're not serving God because he broke the fever you had. You're not serving God because he bought you a new house. You are serving him because you know that Jesus is holy, he's just, he's pure, and you know his heart. And so that is really what it's all about. God's word is eternal. God is eternal. Grace gives us space and gives us a chance to, even though I may push my will against God at times, in the end, God's will wins, not yours, right? So it's very, something to think about as we are nearing the end of our Lenten journey. The choice we're making and how strong is becoming our faith, and that we must think of everything through faith, that we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. We have to trust God. And no one is saying on this broadcast or anything that, the doctor told me I don't need, I should take this medicine, but I'm just going to walk by faith and I'm going to ignore my medication. We would never say that to you. You always take your medication. And remember, God could be using your illness to be a witness to the doctor, to show how powerful, how mighty God really is. And he'll be using your illness for that, to witness to the doctor. That's what faith is. So you must walk by faith. And so when you think, my friends, of your five senses that brings memories back to you, think of the sense of smell. A certain kind of sun oil takes us back to a French beach. The smell of chicken, or maybe reminds you of grandma's house or something, or a hint of pine that tells you it smells like Christmas. Paul reminded the Corinthians that they were the aroma of Christ, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. He may have been referring to Roman victory parades. The Romans made sure everyone knew they had been victorious by burning incense on altars throughout the city. For the victors, the aroma was pleasing, and for the prisoners, it meant certain slavery or death. So as believers, we are victorious soldiers. And when the gospel of Christ is preached, it is a pleasing fragrance to God. As the aroma of Christ, what perfumes do Christians bring with them as they walk into a room? It's not something that can be bought in a bottle or a jar. When we spend a lot of time with someone, we begin to think and act like that person. Spending time with Jesus will help us spread a pleasing fragrance to those around us. Lord, please shape our thoughts and actions so that people can sense that we have been with you. In 2 Corinthians, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity and those sent from God. The imagery that we feel in our minds that we can see of a pleasing aroma coming up before the Lord appears all over in many ways throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, one of the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle was the altar for burning incense in Exodus 30, along with the lampstand and the table for the bread of the presence. The incense altar was in the holy place, just outside the Holy of Holies. In Revelation 8, incense is offered on the altar in heaven. This incense is connected to the prayers of the people of God. We see that not only can our lives be a pleasing aroma to God, but our prayers can be as well. One of the wonderful books I've always come across and I love is Reverend Scott Lewis. And it's a lovely book I bought through a bookstore, and it's called God's Word on Sunday, and it would give you the liturgy reflections for that year, and of course touching on to Lent or Advent and Good Friday and all the most holy days. But we have to think about this: God will stand by those firm in faith. How much, my friends, are we willing to suffer for our faith and our cherished beliefs? Brave talk is easy, but it's not until we've faced with some fearsome choices that we discover what is inside of us. Oh my goodness, how much I can relate to all that, and I'm sure you can too. How many struggles you've been through. And maybe you're facing something even right now as we speak, and you're listening and grasping onto every word I'm telling you. God will stand by you. You must have faith. You have to choose faith, my friends. You must choose faith, because when you walk, you can either walk in faith or you can walk in fear. You can walk in faith or you can walk in depression. If you walk in faith, then you don't walk in confusion. So you have a choice. Do we walk in faith or don't we? You have to choose. God isn't going to come down and make you choose. Okay? God isn't going to do that to any of us. Right? And the only way, my friends, for any of us to survive on this earth is to walk by faith. When we can be strong in our faith, that God already knows what your illness is, what your problems are, what your debt is. God is already at hand taking care of it. You must have faith, my friends. You must have faith. You know, courage in the face of oppression and a willingness to die for one's belief can be a fine thing. On the other hand, one might be weary of this kind of foolhardy behavior. But there must be a commitment to life, to compassion and reconciliation. So I do hope you make a visit and go to confession very soon. There are times when the question that someone asks reveals a significant lack of basic understanding and cannot be answered in a direct yes or no manner. The Sadducees, who posed the trick question to Jesus, do not believe in the resurrection, and they hope to trap Jesus in showing how ridiculous this belief is. They pose the question of a woman, right, married sequentially to seven brothers, to fulfill the Levirate law dealing with men who die without offspring. And she dies childless. So at the resurrection of the dead, whose wife will she be? And they do have a point. Taken literally, the doctrine of the resurrection suffers from some absurd contradictions. At the resurrection, to whom do transplanted organs belong? Jesus refuses to be pulled into their line of reasoning. Instead, in the Gospel of Mark, he criticizes them sharply for this kind of limited thinking. And the silly line of inquiry shows that they really don't understand Scripture or the power of God. Marriage and childbearing are earthly activities that reflect our reality in this world. And death is a passage to life at a different and higher plane. So we should not project our earthly life into the hereafter, but allow God to challenge and surprise us. Death is nothing to fear. When the time comes, it can be even embraced. Openness and trust in the guiding Spirit of God is the key to spiritual understanding. Therefore, my friends, wisdom and grace helps us respond to life's challenges. I hope that this broadcast encourages you as we are nearing Palm Sunday in the next little while. And, you know, once we'll come to again, we come to a crossroads at Palm Sunday. You know, it's the great mystery of Christ's death and resurrection. And we'll be coming to the end of our Lenten journey. And it's an opportunity for us to look back and reflect and to look forward and prepare. And the Holy Week is a very unique time in our church calendar where we're walking minute by minute with Jesus as he goes through his passion, his death, and resurrection. So before we begin Palm Sunday, let's think about that. How can we love God more during this time? There are so many scriptures, so many beautiful traditions, and such deep mysteries surrounding us all week. All gifts that will help us draw closer to the Lord. So I will leave you with a little prayer, and I'm going to just find it. And it's called All Glory, Laud, and Honor. And it's from a hymn. All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas sing, ring. Thou art the King of Israel, thou David's royal son, who in the Lord's name comest, the King and Blessed One. The company of angels are praising thee on high, and mortal man and all things created make reply. The people of the Hebrews, with palms before thee went, our praise and prayer and anthems before thee we present. To thee before thy passion, they sang their hymns of praise. To thee now high exalted, our melody we raise. Thank you. Thou didst accept their praises, accept the prayers we bring. Who in all good delightest, thou good and gracious King. All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. Isn't that a beautiful prayer, my friends? And I said thank you because our dear, sweet engineer who has gone into the studio today and he's working away, as always, juggling many, many things, is just giving us a heads up that we're nearing the end. But I just want you to remember that this world, we have a choice, my friends. It's like when you wake up in the morning and you say, I'm going to have a positive attitude or a negative. I will choose to walk by faith or I don't. I will choose to walk by faith or I choose to be miserable. I choose to walk by faith or I'm going to walk in fear. I'm going to be afraid. Be strong, my friends. You have nothing to fear. God's word is eternal. God is with you through everything. You serve him because you know God's heart. You know what he's all about, right? So think about that. See if you can read your Bible this week and think about your Lenten journey and think about being closer to God and how you can be. Maybe spend some time in church or maybe go through the Stations of the Cross. Right? Dear listeners, if we could just see through God's eyes, you know, we can look at it three ways: the way others see us, the way we see ourselves, and the way God sees us. He has no labels. He doesn't care who you are, what you are. He loves you. He made you in his image. He loves you already. That's why, my dear friends, you must choose faith. God loves you as you are. Come to him. Open your hearts. Make a real, honest-to-goodness commitment. If you haven't already, it's never too late. It's never too late to make a commitment to God. In the Book of Wisdom, written before Jesus came into the world, the Book of Wisdom foreshadows his future fate at the hands of those whose convictions were not to be questioned. So let's say one little tiny prayer and before we go. God, my creator and protector, with Jesus I have all I need. Help me to live in the hope of holiness and to be gentle in all my ways. Dear blessed listeners, I pray that you have a very safe and happy week and become closer and love Jesus more and more each passing day. God bless all of you. Thank you for listening to the Father's Quilt, and we pray to see you and hear from you in the very near future, and we'll see you next week as we are going to be entering Palm Sunday. God bless you all.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Single day.